100-word stories. The dirty clothes are in the washers, the coffee and Bailey's is in the mug. My headphones are on, and it's time for the weekly challenge. 100-word stories podcast, been going on here for over 8 years, and you're still here, you're still listening, I'm still talking. I'm still sitting here with the coffee and the laundry and the timer and all of that. Well, let's get started this morning, shall we? Let's see. We've got a whole bunch of 100-word stories on the topic of burning. I'm burning some incense on an incense holder. What else can an incense holder have? Very slim Slim Jims? You can burn Slim Jims, have the smell of preserved meat? Nah. Do they make bacon incense? I need to see if there's bacon incense. Well, what other things are burning out there? Well, Maggie sent in a story that just the text of the story. So you can see it up on the show notes at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. And then there's Muncie. He's got a story there, taking a break from the whole NaNoWriMo thing. So let's see what Muncie has, shall we?
Greetings, fellow carbon-based life forms. Munzbot here, Muncie. Muncie here, not a bot. Why do I keep doing that? That is super buggy. Flesh Muncie is not a good programmer. I am not a good programmer, I mean, because I'm Muncie, and I'm the one who programmed the bot. By which I mean there is no robot. Just me, Flesh Muncie. I mean Muncie. Here's a story. Celebration by Christopher Monroe. Welcome. Glad you could make it. Come in. You're the first to arrive, but I'm sure everyone will be here soon enough. Have a seat. We have a great evening planned. There'll be games later. Mitch over there is a tremendous bartender, and while you haven't met most of the people who'll be here yet, once you do, I'm sure you'll love them. And, at the stroke of midnight, we're burning the Wicker Man. No word yet as to who will be inside the Wicker Man. I'll keep you posted as that's worked out. In the meantime, have a drink. Broken Escalator, Flash Fiction Blog, and Tweets at Muncie Muncie. And now, back I go, into my Muncie nest. I saw my shadow, fellow carbon-based life forms. And that means there'll be 2 more weeks of NaNoWriMo.
Thank you, MuncieBot. I mean Flesh... Muncie. Hopefully the NaNoWriMo stuff is going smoothly. If not, I have some sandpaper that you can use to smooth it down. No, I don't edit. I sand things. I sand things a lot. I have a belt sander for sanding my belts when they get rough and not smooth. Next up, we have Jeffrey. Jeffrey is not a robot either. Maybe we should make the topic, I'm not a robot. Oh, maybe, unless you are a robot, then it's perfectly okay. Robots are not people, too. Here's Jeffrey. He's made of flesh. Can't you tell?
Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, as the case may be. This is Jeffrey Fisher, back with another pair of stories for this week's weekly challenge on the topic of burning. My first story is called Dangerous Liaisons. Rob felt a burning sensation in his nether regions. Although he ignored it, hoping the feeling would go away, it persisted. Finally, he saw a doctor who identified the problem as a case of the clap, prescribed antibiotics, and sent Rob on his way. When his girlfriend Monica had a similar burning sensation, she was puzzled until one Sunday morning, looking for 2 aspirin and some Pepto, she encountered Rob's antibiotics and put 2 and 2 together. Monica broke up with Rob that morning. He didn't notice for several weeks that she had taken apart his remaining pills, flushed the antibiotics down the toilet, and put the pills back together again. For Rob, it was a real head-scratcher. My second story is called Both Ends. The expression burning a candle at both ends never made sense to Phil, who decided to conduct an experiment. He took a standard household candle into his dorm room. He used a lighter to melt the other end, jammed a wick into the soft wax, and lit both ends. Then put the candle in his hands and watched it burn. As the candle dwindled, Phil wondered how he could put it down to avoid being burned. He ended up throwing the candle into a corner where a stack of magazines caught fire. The entire dorm burned down. At both ends, you might say. Thanks for listening to my stories. So long until next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. And those pills that you have, nobody's been playing with them or monkeying with them. We don't have a single monkey, none at all. Next on the list, it's Julie. Yes, Julie, she's here, and she has a story. She has a story. She has a story. Did you see what I did there? I emphasized different words in the same sentence. You could probably do that too. Try it right now, but not while you're on the trapeze. That might be dangerous. Slightly more dangerous than just being on a trapeze. Ha ha ha. If only Amazon hadn't have gold-boxed trapezes, the world would be a safer place. Now they're giving them away, like they used to give away toasters at the bank. And we all know how dangerous the world became with toasters in the hands of criminals. Here's Julie.
Hey guys, it's Julie. Crap gave us the word burning this week, and that's a good word. That's a really good word. No, I don't have a cat here. My mom actually inadvertently helped with this story, because she's, she's mom, and she watches a lot of TV because, you know, she's 85, but, you know, she's cool. So, it's November, and I guess, you know, History Channel is showing all this shit on TV, but anyway, here's what I'm serving up. This is called 46 Burning Birthday Candles Served Up with Jeers. I was full of pulchritude and lacked punctuality. It was all staged, of course. They sewed me in my naked dress, trotted me out, the trollop offering. My cotton candy hair, even the white ermine, was fake. Peter Lawford had a few before we took the stage. I had a few, too. He asked for a blowjob, the limey skank. I knew what was up. I went through the motions and gestures, sang my silly words off-key, ignored the crowd. Don't judge me. For all the things you've done to me, I thank you so much. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Thanks again, you guys. See y'all next week. It's Julie. Kisses.
Thank you, Julie. Not scary at all. Not one bit. I say that a lot during the day, that things aren't scary. That way, I won't be afraid. As in, this fan on the floor blowing at me. That's not scary at all. This coffee is not scary at all. The sparkling lights in a cloud that follow me around and taunt me with strange voices barely out of the range of my hearing. That's not scary at all. Say it with me. That's not scary at all. You see... my laundry's ready. I need to put things in the dryer. While I put things in the dryer, how about you listen to Tom? It's spelled like it sounds.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got four, count them, four stories. The first one, Dancing on a Bubble. It was the 90s. The last wave of unbridled money was flowing through the streets of Silicon Valley. Jack was surfing in the middle of a perfect storm. Gaming company wanted a video portal on their website. The company was 30 days old, astonishingly overcapitalized. The kids had no idea that a generation before, the VC were the bad guys. Jack had, and they still were, knee-deep in ash. The burn rate had reached golden time. Jack managed to get out the door before the padlock. The gravy days of tech writing were gone with the wind. Story number 2, continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 24. Doc Proctor cut through the crowd like a knife. A hell of a way of answering an advertisement, Mrs. Parsons. Sorry, sir. Smith, you coming with? Seems so, sir. Nice work, Timmy. How long before the reconstitution? 6 minutes. Who's flying that thing? Sparky nodded. The doc motioned him to get behind the altar and pull the FSM with him. The entire company followed suit. Doc Proctor drove his fist into the altar. A brilliant flame rose. It burnt so bright, the Pastafarites backed away. Bannister pulled the voyage over the Tiber. What about the priest? Drop him in Wynn's pool. Third story? A damn good Forrest Gump life. In the 70s, I worked for a bakery that delivered baked goods to San Francisco shops. Got to know some of the folk in the art scene. One of those folk said, "You gotta check out the show at Baker Beach." At the time, it had all the trappings of any Santa Cruz beach party. Too much beer, smoke, fire, and dead. So I went just once. Same friend asked me to come with when they took the party out to Black Rock. I told him I wasn't going to drive 120 miles to watch a burning man. And the last story, loud. My musical taste has always been on the eclectic side. If a singer's vocal presentation was 5 degrees off-center, the record went into my collection. In my 45 days, a title of Unmeasurable Joy was produced by the oddest named band I had ever heard, The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. The Who was loud. Arthur Brown was louder. Fire was released in 1968, and surely as the times they were a-changing, it went to number 2 on Billboard. Parents hated it. Kids loved it. Beginning with, "I am the God of Hellfire," and ending with, "You're gonna burn." Oh, and a real quick call out. Richard has over 104 stories, which makes him a golden monkey.
Thank you, Tom. I should go and update the Golden Monkeys page right now. Norval Joe, Andrew Ian Dodge, Tom, Ellison, Guy David, Justin the Space Turtle, meow, Anima Zabaleta, Caleb Bullen, Stephen the Nuclear Man, TJ, Zach Man, Leiana, Thomas, Serendipity Haven, Sing, Muncie, Danny, Uncle Monster, Cliff, Jeffrey, Tura, Richard, and Planet Z. If you heard your name there, you should be proud of yourself and pat yourself on the back, unless, of course, you have a knife in your hand. Then be very, very careful. Let's see what else we can do today. Do we have any more stories? We sure as hell do. Richard, in fact. Herewith, his scribblings in response to the challenge that has been set forth are right here. That's what he said in his letter. So here we go with Richard. Yay! In all of his monkeyhood.
Good morning. I hope you're well. I certainly am. I'm also, apparently, now a monkey, which came as a bit of a surprise. However, somebody who wouldn't be surprised is my mum, who's always said I'm a bit of a monkey. Ah, well. Okay, we'll kick off with George's story. This is chapter 34. Keeping to the shadows, George and Emily fled towards the river. Suddenly a massive explosion rocked the camp, the concussion throwing them to the ground. A huge fireball erupted behind them, and George felt his hair singe. Fort Hope was ablaze, burning fiercely, the flames already reaching toward them. "Run," shouted George, and they took off as if all the hounds of hell were following. Then, without warning, they were falling. George braced himself for the impact, but instead experienced the sudden shock of ice-cold water. Spluttering and gasping, his head broke the surface. They had found the river. My next story I've called Roma Invicta. We sat on the hillside and watched the city burning in the valley below. Men, women and children surrounded us, shocked and sobbing. Senators, priests, common folk and gladiators. All of us equal in our loss. Rufus Dramaticus, one of my most loyal and trusted legionaries, made his way slowly through the crowd, saluted and knelt before me. "Caesar, the people are lost. They look to their emperor for succour." "Are they?" I replied. "But what on earth can I do?" Then I spotted my fiddle. "How about I lead everyone in a nice rousing sing-along? That'll revive the spirits." Ah, my last story is called Burning Man. My ticket for Burning Man arrived this morning. Yep, that's right. I'm going to be spending a week in the Nevada desert, communing with nature, soaking up the atmosphere, and generally escaping the rat race and everything it means. Mainly, though, I'll be going for the art. There's nothing like self-expression, be it through sculpture, handicrafts, or performance, to show just how creative we humans can be. Oh, actually, if I'm honest, that's not the real reason I'm going. I'm really going because I want to see all those girls wandering round wearing body paint and not a lot else. And with that shocking admission, I think I should sign off. Goodbye.
There's nothing wrong with being a monkey, especially when you're a monkey. You see? That's the identity. It works. Thank you, Richard. Oh, man. Coffee. And I got a good photo of the fluffy boy. I'll probably use that as the photo for this show. Isn't that cool? I think it's cool. So, you should think it's cool. You see how that works? I set the standards really, really low. Then you meet them. "Hi, standards. How are you doing?" "I'm doing fine. Would you like some coffee?" That was good. "What's in there?" "A severed human finger?" "Ha, ha, ha, ha. Where do you get those things?" The next stories are by Richard. No, wait, we already did that. I'm stuck in a time loop. Oh no, someone get me a sonic screwdriver and hand the phone to Cliff. Really, I don't know what the hell I'm doing this week.
Good morning. Today I thought I'd do something different and sing you a song. Now, where did I put that accordion? Ah, the cat's lying on it. I guess the song will have to wait. Instead, I'll tell you a couple of stories with the prompt of burning. Dr. Perkins had a cancellation, so I was able to get in with only a few hours' notice. The receptionist asked me what my problem was, but I wouldn't tell her. Since Perkins was a urologist, I'm sure she was used to men being shy about sharing. Soon, the doctor and I were alone in the exam room. "What brings you to see me today?" "Well, Doc, I'm kind of embarrassed." "No reason to be. I'm a professional. You can tell me." Okay. You've been sleeping with my wife. They caught me burning the office down, with Perkins' body inside. And here's another story with the prompt of burning. Their ships were tiny, a mere 10 feet across. They were still the most feared armada in the galaxy. They had weapons that could level cities. They had a star drive that could take them across a light year in a heartbeat, and across the galaxy faster than you could get through airport security. They had ravaged 1,000 worlds, and Earth was next. However, a slight miscalculation by the chief navigator brought the fleet out too close to our world. Before they could change course, they plummeted through our atmosphere, burning as they fell. Damn pretty meteor shower, though.
Thank you, Cliff. That was a pretty meteor shower. But I prefer to take a meteor bath. You can read in a meteor bath. You can't read in a meteor shower. Because your book will get all burned up with flaming rocks or other particulate matter. I didn't write that down. I thought it in my head and scripted it in my head. Unfortunately, my head needs work. Oh, who will we go to next for entertainment? Zachman, perhaps? You might ask? Well, you'd be right. You'd be very right. You'd be extremely right. So let's turn left and head over to Zachman, who's out there in the middle of Lake Winnipeg, frozen over with a castle rising high into the swirling clouds, the swirling, whirling clouds.
Father, Miss Shirley said, a robot doesn't actually know it's a robot. They're programmed to respond the same way we do. Upon learning the truth about itself, it would probably go into a violent, existential rampage through the town. Honey, if Argus says something that sounds odd, like project instead of project, or initiate sequence 1, it is because he grew up in a different country. But he is definitely not a robot. Dearest, no fireplace tonight, because it's illegal to have fire on cold days. Oh, spare the air day, and not because fire might melt our human guest.
That's very nice of you to be cautious with Flesh Muncie. I mean, Muncie. Zachman, thank you for being so considerate. For being so considerate with Muncie. Muncie rhymes with coffee, but I'm drinking coffee. Coffee. We got a few more stories to go here. We're not even at 30 minutes. I'm being efficient? Wow, that's scary. I should just go ahead and play Serendipity Story then. Ooh, those mellifluous tones. Did I say mellifluous right? Thank goodness. Otherwise, I'd have to get the shocky stick. That's how I train myself to say words correctly. It's my first shocky stick. Oh, I've kept it all these years. But when I walked into preschool with my eyes twitching and a slight drool out of the corner of my mouth, I still pronounced words correctly. Unless, of course, my slack vocal cords fumbled slightly because of all the shocks.
Can you smell burning? That wasn't the deal. I thought I'd made it perfectly clear that I wanted the ducking stool. The point being, it's pretty easy to fake drowning, and then I can just sneak away when nobody's looking. Hold my breath. Play dead. Escape with my life. But burning at the stake is another matter entirely. How the heck am I supposed to escape from this? Unless you have a secret plan to get me out of this fix. I'm toast. Quite literally. You've let me down badly. You're far, far worse than a witch. You're a complete bitch.
"Oh, you say the sweetest things, Serendipity," or, "Wait, you have a robot say things for you. You're not saying the sweetest things at all. You have your robot say the sweet things. Oh, you coward, you coward, why don't you say the sweetest things to me with your own voice? Unless that is your voice, and you are a robot, and it is a conspiracy, and Zackman is keeping the flesh Muncie warm, while you are the one who is keeping the flesh Muncie warm. Oh, I'm piecing it all together now. It's all coming together in my head, the head that all the shocking has made unreliable, but I pronounce things correctly now, even though there's a slight bit of drool coming out of the corner of my mouth, frozen there because I am on Lake Winnipeg in a castle watching the swirling clouds. How's that? Whew, okay, let's continue here. Oh, thank you, Serendipity. I love doing that. I hope you love it when I do that. Otherwise, just skip ahead. Yeah, I know, I promised I was going to use the lazy week for practicing with GarageBand, but I don't own a garage, and I don't own a band, and I certainly don't have a band in my non-existent garage. That's just crazy. Maybe I can create a virtual garage and put a virtual band in there and have a virtual garage band. Maybe that will qualify me. Maybe Keith Moon is still alive. Next up, it's time for Doc Fran. She's returned from a long, long time away because I think the topic strikes a chord with her. What kind of chord? Probably the cords that we use to tie up Zackman when he's out of his cell. No, we don't keep Zackman in a cell. That would be crazy. He's the doctor. But then, Dr. Fran is the doctor. I'm confused now. I'm very confused. Let's just play her story.
Burning Man. What makes a visionary? Philip Rosedale, clad in plastic bag cape and sporting beads, looked up from his laptop at the playa in Burning Man and saw a user-created world. He thought, I can do something with that. Thus was born Second Life, the great virtual world experiment that still appeals to a niche of about 1 million people. Yes, the losers, the folks on the autistic spectrum, the odd and the unloved are there. Philip is not. Randy Nomained looked up from his bong at the playa in Burning Man and yelled, "Boobies!" He created nothing at all.
Oh, yes, he created. We all create. We all create things. Things and feelings, because feelings are things, and things are feelings. Don't you know? Maybe you do. And you're just trying to walk us through this, walking upstream to Lake Winnipeg, the frozen castle. Yes, Lake Winnipeg will be a topic at some point. Get your Google Maps ready, or maybe you'll fly up there, or swim upstream, but not while it's frozen. Then you would be flopping on ice, which is actually kind of fun. Unless, of course, you're trying to skate, and you fall down on your ass, and it hurts, and you're flopping around. Then it sucks. Thank you, Dr. Fran. I'm glad we had this talk. You know what else I'd like to do? I'd like to introduce Spate. Hello, Spate. Welcome. Would you like to tell a story? No? Well, you will anyway. Here you go.
Hey, this is Spate. My story this week is called Dreams, and here it is. I awoke from a dream and reached over, but you were gone. Then I remembered. I sleep alone now. And under the weight of this empty bed on a cold November night, I have again been forced to reconcile with the unpalatable conclusions. I know that what was is now not, and that which once burned with life has turned to dry ash. I accept that 22 years became the limit of forever, and that I will never really hear your voice or feel your touch again. You will not return. But when will you be gone from my dreams?
How sad. But that's okay. People will be gone from your dreams when you have even greater traumas that displace the lighter traumas. That's what I've learned. So I go from trauma to trauma every week, and that keeps the bad dreams from coming back. The worst dreams come in, and they stay. They stay for a really long time. Until, of course, the next dream comes. Thank you, Spate. I'm writing a note here to myself. I saw a bunch of IKEA bags, shopping bags, that were being used as laundry bags, and I thought, that's clever. That's a clever form of thief. Dreams, greater traumas, displace. All right, so there you go. Let's go ahead and move on to the next stories. They're by Lizzie. Lizzie was having connection problems yesterday. She missed my live reading on the bridge, the covered bridge, the beautiful covered bridge. My beautiful covered bridge. It's so beautiful, and it's covered. As opposed to the other bridge that people were standing on, it wasn't covered. But they went there anyway. I should probably play her stories.
The old man threw his books out the window, one by one. No one loves books anymore, he thought. He walked downstairs and lit up the first book, turning it left and right, watching its cover burn slowly. Suddenly, a kid walked up to him. "Don't burn it, I'll keep it for you." The old man's eyes teared up. He put the fire out and sat on the floor. The kid sat beside him, holding the half-burned book like a treasure. Many others joined them, each grabbing a book. The old man was never so happy to be wrong. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcuff.blogspot.com and check out what I've been writing lately. And talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Yay! Thank you, Lizzie. Don't burn your old books. You know, we were at the bookstore the other day, you know, buying books, and they wanted us to buy some books for kids at the Star of Hope mission, which is a star of hope, but not hope and wonder. I wonder about that. Anyway, they wanted us to buy books for those kids, and of course, you know they're going to be reading Treasure Island and other stuff, all the classics, because that's what homeless kids do. What books do homeless kids read? I don't know. I've never been a homeless kid, and I've never read. What books? What books do they read? Or you just give them Kindle books? Would that make it easier? You can copy them all you want, and no one's going to prosecute a homeless kid unless it's those dicks at Warner Brothers. Those jerks. Those mean, send a takedown notice to everyone for everything, and it's not a crime because false accusation. Well, there's just no such thing. I should probably play the next stories. They're by Katarina? You're back, and you're not technically Mamer anymore. You're Bordette. Well, congratulations! I was wondering about that. All the time. It was occupying my mind. It was making it difficult to walk, and occasionally breathe while swallowing, and I sort of choked a bit. It was confusing, and I may have passed out once or twice. People had to operate the elevator for me. It was a frightening time. But I'm better now, and I can finally say congratulations, and welcome back. Don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger. Be the strangest.
Burning by Katharina Bordi. Flames were trying to burst through the windows of the two-story house in the cul-de-sac. Leo looked at it in astonishment, whilst from afar the sirens were blaring louder as they were coming closer. Quicker than the sirens, his parents' car arrived, coming to a screeching halt next to the boy. Leo looked round to see his mother jumping out of the car and running towards him, a look of sheer panic on her face. "What happened? Did you do this, Leo?" she shouted at him. "But you told me to clean the house out, Mum." You can find more of Katharina's stories at mimer.net and everyphototells.com.
Thank you, Katharina. And thank you, Mick, for reading that for her. Your accent is, let's see if I can still say the word, mellifluous. That shocky stick, that's why I keep it charged. Such good coffee. This is the last of the really good coffee. I need to get more really good coffee. You know, the coffee that is really good, the really good stuff, not just the fair trade stuff. No, that stuff sucks. I'm talking about the stuff that's made from murdered black rhinos and captured by child soldiers, run around by Coney, who says, "There are enough people whose hands we've chopped off and murdered and raped. We need to make coffee now. Go make coffee." And they hurt, they kill, they poach the black rhinos with blood diamonds and rare earth metals, and they pick the coffee, and then they burn the place and kill all the indigenous people, and then they pack it up and send it. That's the best coffee. Conflict coffee, the best. Man, I'm really going off the deep end. Ooh, there's a new jacket from MEB. It looks pretty. The leather jacket has been a bestseller in a long time. Now it's a brand new mesh version in 12 colors and textures. Oh, I must get them all. Before I go get them all, you know, it used to be great when there was Sevi and Bonchance working together. You thought, how could it get any better? Red Goddess is working with them now. Three people. And it's not just each doing 33 and one-third word, because that would be lame. That would be crazy. And how do you do a third of a word? How do you decide who does it? Or do you just let what naturally flows and end everything with what Spate did? That was actually kind of clever. But no, they work on each word together, passing it around, sanding it down with my borrowed belt sander. Can I get it back? I need to work down the varnish and strip the varnish from a chair, by the way. But they strip down each word and assemble it together, not with glue, with nails, with screws, with pegs, a natural fit. It comes together. That's how words and furniture last. That's how it lasts. Here's their story.
This is Crap Mariner's 100 Word Challenge. This week's word is burning. The challenge word is burning. This is a collaborative write between Severina Halestar, Red Goddess, Talk with Marie, and Bonchance Longfall. The title is Burning. Harry huddled in his cubicle and slowly arranged the three pieces of paper. He gingerly taped the fragile pieces together into one. and began to study it. Harry was unsure why he was chosen to solve this mystery, but all the same, it was a challenge that excited him. The faded trail on the map ended in a three-way split. He knew that the wrong turn could lead to disaster. Which path to take was the burning question. The next day, Harry strapped on his gear and scaled down the storm drain to find his buried pot of gold.
Thank you, Bonchance, for reading that and writing with Red Goddess and Sevi. Oh, poor Lola, she finally won. She won her victory, and now she's out there, Queen of England. Didn't you know that? That's how the story ended. It isn't? Oh. Anyway, thank you guys. And remember, it's not the ending or the beginning, but the whole thing. I have no idea what that means. And now a lesson on branding. This is called the 100 Word Stories Podcast. It's hosted by me, but you don't have to say any of my names. It's just the 100 Word Stories Podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Who's the I? It might be me. It might be you. It might be someone named I. That would be a clever name. That would be a very clever name for someone to give their child. Instead of Ichabod Crane, it would be I, Crane. He wouldn't be teased by his classmates. Icky Bod! Icky Bod! Ha ha ha! You see? I, Crane, sounds better. Although he'd be sued by Apple and the ghost of Steve Jobs. Is it Jobs? Jobs? There are no jobs anymore. Unless, of course, you want to work with me as a developer. Do you know Perl? That's P-E-R-L, not P-E-A-R-L. If you know Perl, tell her hi. It's been a long time since I've talked to her. Well, we didn't really talk much. But still, if you know Perl, and you like to develop, and you're so sick of where you live, other than Houston, of course, drop me a line. Wow, that was a shameless plug for something, and it wasn't even part of a story. So what I'm going to do is hand you to Norval Joe. Yes, Norval Joe. He may have brought back my favorite name in the universe. Let's find out, shall we?
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 395 with a prompt of burning. I'm back on the Blue Snowball microphone tonight, trying to set up in my recording room again. Before I get into my story, I would like to reply to Muncie's comment last week that I am not ahead of him by double the word count. I am at 57,000 words right now. And I believe Muncie's at 54,000. I hit it real hard at the beginning of the month because I knew things get crazy towards Thanksgiving. So from here on out, I should probably only be doing 2,500 words a day. But I do hope to hit 80,000 before it's all over. So all of you NaNoWriMos, keep working hard at it. Muncie's a good example for us to follow because he does hit it hard the whole time. And here's my story. Durgle patted Long John Silver on the head, loaded shells into his shotgun, and left a candle burning in the front window. Wiener Dog Man would not be made to look like a fool. He pulled the eared hoodie over his head and strapped the dog nose to his face. Call him a superhero or call him a vigilante. He had a job to do and a promise to keep. He walked down the street to Widow Finkelstein's.
You have 10 minutes to release her and her dogs, or I'm coming in.
The eco-terrorists had taken the wrong hostages. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Now, Lawrence, it's just you and me and Planet Z. Maybe Space Turtle. Let's talk. Hi, Justin. Those of us who stay, who come back week after week,
aren't put off by your rambling or your rants or your cats. There is no cash prize. There are no special publication kudos for sharing stories here. Those of us who hang out week after week are here for the camaraderie, for the association with intelligent people, to share a creative impulse with others like ourselves. I understand some people get their electronic knickers in a knot because someone might not count their words or tell more stories, or get upset that a midget reads their hard-won stories instead of, I don't know, William Shatner. Hang in there, man. Us regulars, and even some of the new people, we just appreciate that you give us a forum, an electronic sandbox, if you will, to spend some time playing together without throwing a lot of sand in some skinny little kid's eyes. By the way, if there are people who need someone to read their stories, I've said it before, and of course no one has ever taken me up on it, but I'd be happy to record stories. I record on Saturday night at about 9 p.m. Pacific time, so that gives them the whole week to get the story into me. If they just send their stories to norvaljoe@gmail.com, spelled just as it sounds, I'll record their stories, and I'll even do my best to make it sound dramatic. Since the unhappy death of Flying Island Press, I haven't had that much of a chance to try and develop my skills as a narrator or story reader, which I'd like to do. But then, of course, they'll have to wait till the end of the podcast to listen to their stories, along with mine. Well, anyway, Lawrence, hang in there. And as always, peace, love, and dope.
Thank you, Norval Joe. And why is NaNoWriMo in Thanksgiving? Towards the end, people desperate to put words together, and they're trying to avoid the rest of their family on Thanksgiving. Oh, wait, that gives them an excuse. They don't have to be with their families, kind of like what I do. So wait, I've got a turkey coming for Thanksgiving and a ham coming for Christmas, even though I don't really do much with each. You see, it's for the cats. The cats sort of like turkey. We'll find out. If they don't, I've got a lot of turkey to eat. And the cats, they sort of like ham. Otherwise, I've got a lot of ham to eat. But I can share it with the neighborhood cats, because it's good for them, right? It is, isn't it? I think. The neighborhood cats. Fluffy was arguing with another cat. It was sad. It was very sad. Two homeless kitties arguing over who lives here, when neither does. I just wish that they all had homes. Just not this one. I mean, we have the two girls, and that's as much as we can take care of right now without going completely crazy. We used to have four cats. Four different cats, of course. Oh, those were the days, but none of them really got along. It was a sad time sometimes. And Nardo, he was the most unloved of all of them. And he was the last one, and we loved him the most. Until, of course, we got the baby panther out of the bushes. It was so beautiful watching Bruin clean Nardo's ears. At first he would hug his head, and then Nardo would go, "What the hell are you hugging my head for?" And he'd yell and fight. But eventually he would headbutt Bruin while he was cleaning himself, and he would get Bruin to clean him instead, that tricky old man. They're both gone. Time for Danny.
Take three, as usual. Jesus Christ, I might be Danny Dwyer, but as far as it comes to recording podcasts or entries to go into Crap Mariner's 100-word stories, on a scale of 1 to I suck, I honestly have broken the scale, and I have a fleet of attorneys who are going to sue me until I pay for the damages that are done. In the meantime, here we are with Weekly Challenge 395. Burning. Welcome to Florida This Week, topping the burning issues of the week. Adolf Hitler gets thrown out of the Florida Republican Party for not being conservative enough. Robert Jones, leader of the KKK of North Carolina, had the following to say. "Well, we don't have no way of judging who exactly we're directing our beliefs at." Jones has recently come under fire for mistakenly attempting to promote KKK membership among the predominantly black community of New Smyrna Beach, Florida, stuffing mailboxes with hundreds of flyers with the words, "Our race is our nation and a symbol of a hooded Klansman." And that's my entry for this week. You can catch all of my, complete idiocy at DannyDwyer@wordpress.com. So please, have fun and enjoy. Have a good night, a good day, good evening, and whatever the hell. What was it, The Truman Show? Yeah, that's it. Good. Have fun watching that movie again. Salute.
Thank you, Danny. You know, The Truman Show is on Netflix. I think I'm going to watch it. I've been watching all kinds of stuff there. I watched through all the new Doctor Who's. I watched through all of Blackadder. I watched through all the new Red Dwarfs, although Season X isn't on there. And actually, the last Matt Smith season wasn't on there either, so I guess I need to buy that. Ooh, buying things. Ooh, isn't the internet supposed to be free? Damn you, Clay Shirky. Damn you to hell. You know, it's funny when someone writes a book, says, "Everything is free now," and they sing a song for "Everything is free now," and yet they charge for it. We call that person a dick. Who the hell is suing you anyway? Not me. I'm not suing you. That takes effort, and you have to sign things. And believe me, I signed way too much yesterday. Oh, in addition to getting new wheels for Gina's car because someone stole them, we also wound up buying new tires for the Blazer, and a new crosslink, and new back shocks, and this, and that. Yep, $1,300. I should have bought a Tesla. Oh well, I'll buy one next year or something. I don't know. Until then, maybe I should just play some stories. More stories. Justin has a story. Here's Justin's story. And it's on time, too, for once.
Gordon Freeman peered around the corner. Two zombies were tearing into a hapless soul who had wandered into Ravenholm. He stepped into the street and aimed the saw blade it held and fired. The blade spun through the air and sheared one zombie in half and dismembered the other. From beside him he heard the gurgle of more zombies. He backpedaled away from them and saw three fuel barrels. He pulled out his Glock and fired a few precious rounds. Flames exploded over the zombies and they stumbled about screeching until they fell into heaps of guttering flesh onto the ground.
Thank you, Justin. And Stephen Hawking's autistic daughter. That's beautiful. Beautiful, I tell you. Beautiful. Next up is Tura. Say that with me. Tura. Just rolls right off the tongue and falls onto the table. Coffee. I just got all the laundry out of the dryer, so now I need to hang it all up. Hang it high! So, how about Tura's story? A good story to hang laundry up to.
In the burning world, the seasons are defined by the flames. In the fire season, a man may not venture with impunity beyond the safe places. Then, the gasp. When the fumes that burst from the sand do not ignite, but suffocate. In the cool, the venting ceases, and one fears only the slow burning of the raging sun. Then the blow, deadliest of all, when deep cataclysms open new vents, and we must find safe ground again before the fire. Our stories say that this world was created by the mad demon Frack, as our punishment for worshipping him.
Crap asked about how people do their recordings. I use an Edirol RO9 voice recorder. Upload to the computer and clean things up with Audacity. For sound effects, I just search Google. And I have a new website, turabrez.org.uk.
Thank you, Tura, and congratulations there on the new site. New sites are great. They let you say, hey, I've got a new site. You want to check it out? I'm going to check it out right now. And there you go. Old enough to have a surname. Cool. I'm just looking down here and there and all that and all sorts of stuff. And there. And that's cool. I need a site like that. Actually, I don't. I don't need a site. I don't need a site at all. I'm going to go without a site. I'm going to just upload things to the Google and the Facebook and the well, wherever other places are that you can upload to. And I'll go without a site. I will have a site without a site. Isn't that cool? Actually, how would I pull that off? I'm not sure. Oh, well. Hey, GoDaddy's getting a new control panel. It's a great control panel. You should work for them. The control panel. And the GoDaddy. Okay, I've turned on the fan while I'm doing this. Man, it was cold for a few days, and now it's getting hot again. So hot. So hot. It's burning. Burning, I tell you. Oh, how will we ever cool off? Sing, can you help us? You and the yogi and the madam, can you all help us keep from burning up? Please. Here's Sing with part 6. And little bitty parts.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 20. Well, in this week's installment, Yogi is manoeuvred into staying in the town for the night and learns new things about the Mahabharata, the world's longest epic poem, and its history in this region. He also tries some traditional Indian food, and then has weird dreams. The last bus left in a cloud of diesel grey. As they returned from the burning Ghat of the dead, he felt quite bad that he would end this day without his Margot next to him on a bed. Hardly apart since raising that first sweat on a sunken sofa in sundown grapevine light with a backyard view where parrots pirouette. Australia was the boat they'd burnt that night. Barhai, glad of a struggling face upset, offered him a bed at the speed of light. You stay with us. Too late to feel regret, the darkening sky helped Yogi say, all right. Trusty Chauhan came up for dinner too. He was the history buff among them, glad to hear his high-pitched voice pull rank. So, Yogi-ji, you like a Mahabharata? Youth in blemished white spoke from the couch, with feet tucked up, hiding his cut knee. I have read it, yeah, in English, a translation, then added, bigger than the Iliad. Chauhan eyebrowed his chairman. Barhai winked. They felt the thrill of history acknowledged, yes, by a foreigner, someone from the West from whom they sought approval, yet despised. They had not deemed Australia to be South, Chauhan went on. It is our greatest book, without a doubt. The story of our race and still for us alive. This is the place where it began. Hastinapur, the capital, is so close by, we could even go tomorrow. Well, that would be great, but my wife is all alone. She'll be worried already that I haven't returned. Of course, Sadhu Sahib, Barhai added. We are all family men. Your duty's clear. Yes, right now she is too much worrying. In a strange land, one must be vigilant. Tomorrow is Sunday. Rest the knee, you must. Chohan, you send your car for Yogi Mrs. The leader and his deputy read each other. A small service, Yogi Ji, if you allow. Of course he must, said Barhai, pushing on with a host prerogative. She is truly doing noble work with the children. Please allow us to show appreciation and share our home. Mrs. Barhai will be thrilled on meeting her. Yogi succumbed again. The air conditioning was softening his tired brain and bones. Come on, slow down. Just take a little break. He thought of Margot with that block of soap scrubbing his white shoulder at the hand pump. He smiled with some relief. Okay, thanks. Then Barhai barked in Hindi.
Hey, Kana Banao!
Jee Swami!
Chimed a voice through clanging pots. Indian food you like?
Oh, very much.
Now, Chohan, tell us something new. The history buff lit up. He cleared his throat, then paused.
Perhaps we shouldn't start on Mahabharat here. Why not? Asked Yogi.
It is the story of discord in the home and splitting of the atom of the nation. Ramayana is a ghee lamp sharing light. Mahabharat is the wick snuffed out at the end.
Come, that's superstition, Barhai said. 20 crore, watch it on Doordarshan, and still the nation hasn't split your atom.
20 crore? Asked Yogi.
200 million, said the man of rupees. Then told how, from week to week at 9 on Sunday morning, India stopped to quaff down myth-like milk from the sacred teat of new technology. Skyline satellite dishes, ham-wired poking above slums, bazaars, the colonies, mosques and mandirs, the public spaces emptied all at home, seated, reverent as inside the temple, through Far Darshan's audience with the past on national television.
It's tomorrow, you will see, Barhai added.
Well, we will take our dinner. Hungry, Yogi?
Yes, he said, a growling dog in his gut.
They tore up steam balloons, chapati, scooping deep the seas of chili. Ladyfingers chopped green bindi, something cabbage fried and windy. Deep brown dal thick with ours, alu gobi's hidden powers, paneer slabs, swimming cream, floating in the Indian dream. Barhai, a man of chicken meat, went pure veg tonight, discreet, while Chohan, scion of care, sniffed and tested with despair, spooning past the globs of ghee, gold whirlpools of high BP. Then the sweet dish, food for brain, rice cream kheer came again and again. Yogi's robe earned its battle stain, a victim of the gravy train.
Don't worry for the washing, Sadhu Sahib.
Barhai called the servant to bring kurta and white pajama as his sleeping suit.
Thanks, Chohan, Yogi said in advance for Margot's early car, and gave a note. Dear Margot, you must be anxious, sorry. Skin my knee. Am resting up at Barhai's, waiting. Yogi. P.S. Bring guitar.
Note pocketed, Chohan said, right, sir, descending stairs like bass notes on a keyboard. It was time to shake the hand of his host and close the door, but he felt like a rock. Food overload? Laying down, he sank in a dream of water.
Darkness is poison. Stone body, creepers, arms tied, ankles, rope burnt, thinking unwinds, reels out. An oxygen lifeline, bubbles, bubbles, serpents swim, scarlet green, injecting venom straight to the bottom and through to another place. Creepers break, cobra hoods smash like tree roots, slither cold tunnel, jeweled walls, emerald cavern, the thousand, thousand coils of serpentry turning human with honeyed speech. Poison is nectar. Each bite, a burning antidote. Each bite, 100 elephants of strength. Each fang clasp, strange transference, upsurge. Sunlight kingdom, breaking surface. Awake in the mind, asleep in the body. Laying until the lotus pink of dawn. When he woke, Yogi's robe was clean upon the chair. Showering, he changed, remembering the poison night. But noises lured him via sprinkled scent of rose water into a front room spread with cotton sheets of white. The ceiling fan spread aircon cool, but squeezed too close, the men swabbed sweaty necks. A girl passed round a tray of clinking glasses. Barhai made way for Yogi, pride of place. Garlanded with marigolds, red saried Sri Lakshmi blessed all with wealth from her pink lotus framed above the television. Herded together, ladies covered heads as the picture tube fizzed into holy life.
Thank you, Sing. Wow. Ooh. Ah. Hot, hot, hot. I should turn the fan off. There. The fan's off now. I haven't looked up bacon incense yet. Bacon incense. Up in Smoke Bacon Incense. The Munchies Collection. Okay. And we look in Stack of Pancakes and Bacon. There's nothing else to be said. It is incredible. It's just fresh, like crispy bacon. You will love it. Okay. PayPal. Click. And I'm going to order twos of them. And I'm going to put in. And this is a private computer. I don't know why. All right. So I ordered two. Uses a preferred shipping address. And pay now. So I just ordered from Glow Girl Body Products 2 packs of bacon incense. Up in Smoke incense. Okay, so similar to bacon incense. 100 bacon incense. I can't believe it's not bacon. Hickory incense. Oh, bacon burner, incense burner on Spencer's on. It's all over. Bacon. 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 Sorry, folks, we already did bacon as a topic. So, you missed your chance. You missed the boat. The boat made out of bacon. Instead, you're going to have to listen to this story by Planet Z, and it has nothing to do with bacon.
Long ago, I worked at the same TV station as a famous reporter. Most people knew him for doing good deeds for the Houston community, but he was utterly cruel and vicious to his editor, producer, and the rest of the news staff. The last thing I said to him was, "You attack the people you utterly depend on, and you know they can never fight back. When you burn in hell, you will burn brighter than anybody else, and you'll be proud of that. Monster." He thanked me and smiled his shit-eating grin. He's dead now. And burning.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of 100-word stories on the topic of burning. Oh, are your ears burning now? How do you feel? How do you feel? Let me know in the comments at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com, where the show notes are, all sorts of other things, links to the people who sent in their stories, and the text of their stories, especially Maggie, who didn't record, who can't record for some reason or another. What happened? What happened? Is your throat burning? Can you not read? Anyway, that's it. I'll see you all next week. Thank you for listening, and as always, oh, you want to know the next topic? Well, go to the site. It will tell you that the next topic is Turkey, and all the topics that are coming all the way through February of next year. Hopefully by then Lake Winnipeg will have thawed, and you no longer have to flop around upstream. Okay, let's try this again. Thank you for listening and being a part of the weekly challenge. I'll see you next week. And until then, keep it brief.